This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you doing this morning, Charlie?
Having a good time dancing.
Yeah, we are in studio.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's the best. And we have a guest, Paul Gallatly. Welcome again.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you back.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
We're
going to
hear what you're up to. Mm-hmm. But before we get to you and why you're here and all the crazy things you're involved in, because you're nonstop.
I am nonstop.
He never sleeps. He's kind of like you, Dean. He never sleeps.
You just have to keep going.
Even yesterday at the mix and mingle party here today, here at the Zoomerplex, Moses commented, "Everybody's fired. I have Dean now." Dean's doing all the shows. It was like,
he's busy.
He said, "Yeah, I'm really thinking about that."
Yeah. Anyway. I told him, I said it would save a lot of money, Moses.
Yeah. Well, don't tell him that. Tell him it's going to cost him a lot of money.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, just quickly, a couple quick announcements. Today, starting right now, but don't go now, wait for an hour. Right now, the Markham Garden Club is hosting a plant sale 9 a.m. till sellout. Like I said, wait, rain or shine. Now, it is starting to rain where we are, so I'm not sure what's happening up in Markham. But, of course, that is happening at the Markham Village Community Center, the northeast corner of the parking lot. That is 6041 Highway 7 East in Markham. Also today, the Agincourt Garden Club plant sale, 10 until 2. the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. Also a rain or shine event. Lots of unusual plants, cash only. So that's important to remember that. And because we'll run out of time, if I keep blathering on, I'll let you do the phone numbers, Dean. Okay. I'd like you to do the phone numbers, but I do want to share with everybody what I brought to share with you.
I'm very excited. Yes, okay. So we would love for you to give us a call if you have an indoor gardening question or an outdoor gardening question. Whatever you've got, we'll take it. 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number. And if you live anywhere outside Toronto in this beautiful and some places wet province of Ontario right now, then you need to give us a call at this number, 1-866-740-4740. Do let Ashley know if you're a first-time caller, and I will give you the garden wings. Yes, indeed. Please call often, call early, and please, this is the important one, one question per call, or I will have to play bad cop, and I will be all over you. Okay.
Yeah,
one question per call.
Got that.
Okay. There you go. Okay.
Okay. So just quickly, there is a big green plant sitting beside you between Paul and you. And so it can be seen right there. Because for those of you who want to see what's going on in the studio, see the three of us silly people and Dean's flowery shirt, you can check us out on the web, am740.ca.
And I think I need to be talking. There you go. See, when I'm talking now, you can see. If you're online, you can see. And what flower is this again?
So this is salvia. Salvia coccinea or coccinia. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those. It's C-O-C-C-I-N-E-A. It is a native salvia.
Okay.
It's an annual plant, but it will seed.
Yes.
So you may find seeds will come up next year.
And in fact, you said you grew this from seed.
I did. And it is a hummingbird magnet once it flowers. And it will start flowering very soon. I chopped it down just to bush out the plants.
Wow.
So I've had it for the last couple of years. I put it near my hummingbird feeder.
Yeah.
So what's hanging in the pot there is just a little sort of poking small vessel for hummingbirds. So
right,
you've got
here.
A double whammy going on there.
You can see it here hanging. It's kind of hanging off
it's
the edge
empty
there.
Empty right now.
And I do have the liquid at home. I already have it.
The
I
nectar.
Just didn't put it in because I figured it would make a big mess in my vehicle.
But as soon as you get home today, put that out.
Okay.
Because I have lots of hummingbirds at my place now and have
early.
For the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Early
spring this year.
Okay.
Mild winter, early spring.
Okay. So we have to run a break and then we come back. If you have any more announcements, we can get to that. But do give us a call. Again, the number is 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are here on Zoomer Radio with The Garden Show. And we should mention, Charlie, that one of the reasons we are in studio today is because, of course, it's Doors Open Toronto. And so for the next 2 days, starting right after The Garden Show here, Zoomerplex in Liberty Village is one of the venues that is open to the public. And so we will be here, it will be open between 10 and 5. And I think tomorrow it's 11 to 5, I believe. And, of course, tours through the building, lots of things to do. And so that's one of the reasons we're here.
That's right. And it does start, like you said, about 10 o'clock. Yeah. So it's quiet right now, but it gets really crazy.
Get really busy. Okay, cool. Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have Mary on the line from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mary.
Thank you. And good morning to you both. Okay, my question is this. Both Stu's orchids. I tried your method. I did it before, only it didn't work. I tried it again to put the orchids into a bucket. So that I tried holding them down until no more bubbles. But what happened is all the bark was in the pail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pain in the butt to try to get it out.
Wow. I've used a sieve to actually to scoop out the bark.
And when I soak them in the bucket, same thing. You just have to put it back together. It's like a little puzzle.
Oh, so you use a sieve. Okay. Then just how do you know if, like, one of them is the little one that, you know, you buy a Shoppers or Home Depot or somewhere, the Phalaenopsis. And the other one was the one that was given to me, I think, 2 years ago. I think a year ago or so, I think it might have been sending out a second shoot, but I thought it was dead or something, and I think it would have been another flower. How do you know if they're ever going to flower again?
Okay.
I mean, is there a hint that it tells you the little Phalaenopsis has got to be, I'm guessing, at least 5 years. The other one maybe only two, I'm hoping. And the other one's in a big 6-inch pot.
All right. So here's the trick. Any new growth on the orchid, leave it alone. Let it grow. You're going to get little shoots that go up as green shoots, and those are going to be flower stems. You're also going to get shoots that are more of a gray-green shoots with a silver tip, and those are roots. Leave them all alone. Let them grow.
Okay, that's what I've been doing because I'm getting more of the gray ones on the big pot that keep shooting up. I keep getting leaves, but
that's good.
No other sign of life.
That's fine. And do you ever fertilize?
Yes, I do. I used to fertilize by calendar once a month.
Oh, okay, year-round.
Yes. I started doing that almost a year ago.
Oh, so you're doing that consistently now?
Yes.
With an orchid fertilizer?
Yes.
Oh, I'm surprised you're not getting blooms. What kind of window do you have these plants in? What sort of light?
Well, at first they're on the dining room table. I have a teeny tiny house, and it faces south. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if I called Master Gardener or on your show, someone said they have it in a south window. I've taken them upstairs in a south window.
Okay, bad idea. Too much light, particularly in the summer.
Oh.
They want bright, indirect. Probably your dining room table, if it's 5 or 10 feet away from a southern window, it's probably perfect.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the deck, but the sun does come in.
Yeah, you don't want direct sunlight, particularly in the summer, on any of the Phalaenopsis orchids.
So I'll put it back on the dining room table.
All right.
Okay,
sounds good.
Well, thank you. I'll keep trying.
Okay. Do that. Okay.
Yeah, so, think about the sieve. Normally, I think of everything.
For scooping the bark. I know.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a
pain. I was
using
a tiny, a slotted spoon and then a little tiny slotted sieve.
Big. Go big.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Okay. Paul was nodding along there. Paul, who is a guest here with me, Galatly, also known as the Tattooed Gardener, for those of you that are social media savvy. You were nodding along. Did you have anything to add to Mary's issue with orchids?
They're tricky, but as long as they're still green, you keep working on it.
Yeah,
they,
exactly.
They will rebloom eventually. Mm. I mean, they're fertilize regularly, you're doing all that right.
Yeah.
I increase the fertilizer a little bit at this time of year just because they're actively growing, and that seems to help a little bit.
I'm a very bad fertilizer. If I remember to fertilize things once a year, they're lucky. I'm just
it's like, good to know. Don't give Charlie orchids. No.
I have great orchids. Yeah. But by fertilizing once a year, they really perk up. Trust me.
So I have a quick orchid question. Yeah. Will they be okay in a north window then?
Yeah,
because
perfect.
Maybe I should move them. I have them not right up a southern window, but it's really bright, but I'm thinking now I have more room at the front.
Mm-hmm.
I should move them up to the northern window because it's a huge, huge window. It's just not direct.
Perfect.
I find most people just have them in the wrong substrate.
Yeah.
You know, they come in moss, which is not ideal. You know, switching them over to the orchid bark and everything is normally a good idea.
Well, remember Terry Kennedy's been with us. She's a Southern Ontario's Orchid Society person. And, you know, I've asked her and there's kind of, it's a bit of a philosophical question. Do you go orc or bark?
Yeah.
Sorry, bark or moss? The moss is way easier to water, I'll say that, when it comes to dunking.
Yes, it doesn't float up.
No floatage.
No sieve require.
Yeah. It's faster, more efficient.
Sweet. Okay, we have to take a quick break. We'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, did you want to make any other announcements before we move on to our callers?
Well, I'd like Paul to just tell us a little bit about why he's joined us in studio today. Because if anybody was listening to the advertising a few minutes ago, one of the sponsors is the
Lakeshore West Garden Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long-running garden tour in the west end of Toronto. And it was the Long Branch Garden Tour until recently. They've sort of gone through a rebranding to the Lakeshore West Garden Tour. And there's over 60 houses on the tour. And it's a walking tour, rain or shine.
Yep.
We're hoping for shine. And you just go to 60 houses in the same neighborhood. And it's a great way to spend a Saturday.
Yeah, it's all day Saturday, June 22nd.
Correct.
60 houses, no cost. The open houses are people...
Just home gardeners.
Opening, their garden to the public.
Yeah.
Front yards, backyards, there's probably signage along the way to tell you.
There is, and you can pick up a map. I think
there's
the maps go out today, or you can go on the website and get your map of the day. And I'm kicking it off at 9:20 a.m., which is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be talking about pollinators, which is something we're all aware of and need to learn more about.
Well, like that plant sitting right beside you.
Pollinator plant right there.
Yeah, that's right, salvia. So you're going to be talking about different plants that pollinate and probably also about insects that do the pollinating.
Correct. And bats.
Right.
We don't think about bats.
Yeah. So, all the different pollinators. There's this tendency to think about bees, but what about everything else?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
all
it's going to be great. It's a great way to learn for your own home garden. If you're looking for inspiration, you're going to see 60 different home gardens and what they have and what they've done.
And is part of the deal that the homeowners are present?
Yes.
So
I believe so, yes. Yep.
Yeah, so that if you are a hobby gardener who joins the tour and wanders into a garden and goes, oh, I love that plant, hopefully somebody can say what that plant is.
Yeah. And if you don't know or they don't know,
we
can find out for you.
Yeah, just bring your phone, take
for
pictures.
Sure. And you don't have to go to all 60 houses.
No, it'd be hard to do.
You can come and do 20, you can come and do 10, or you can be a keener and do all 60, and that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, but you wouldn't see anything if you tried to do all 60.
No.
No, because, you know, the Toronto Botanical Gardens does their Through the Garden Gate tour every year. I assume it's happening this year. I haven't seen.
I think it's Swansea this year.
Yeah, I think it is too. And it's usually 20 to 25 gardens. And that would just frustrate me so much. I'm good for about 10 in a day.
I like to take my time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you can't whip through that. You want to look into the corners and see the interesting, what's around there.
Exactly.
What's going on here. And, oh my gosh, I haven't seen that before.
Yeah.
So, 60 will be hard and it's only in one day.
And it's, I believe, the largest one in Canada for sure.
I think it is too.
And I think that's awesome. I mean, right here in Toronto.
Yeah. And it's like Buffalo does the same thing, a big one day open garden. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a bit of a follow on theirs, but it's huge. 60 gardens is a lot.
That's
so
a lot.
You get your,
even
get your,
if they're small gardens, that's a lot.
Get your hike. Boots on, get pack a lunch, right?
Yep.
Bring an umbrella.
And it's right by the lake.
And sunscreen.
Great parks and sit by the lake and have lunch. And
make it a day.
For sure.
Wonderful. Well, you have fun doing that. That'll be...
I shall. And I'm actually, they put me in a tent in the afternoon to answer questions. So I'll be at one of the gardens doing a question and answer.
You've got a day. We'll be thinking about you on June 22nd.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And that's, of course, when summer starts, right? That's the first weekend of summer.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's Elliot's birthday.
Oh.
I know what you could do.
Oh, yeah. Take him to would... You know what he would say to that? No. Yeah, I fight with him about when to cut the lawn at this point.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Ross on the line from Richmond Hill.
Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, welcome to the garden show there, Ross.
Yeah, thank you, Dean. Charlie, I just wanted to ask something about hydrangea, when I should cut off the old blooms.
Okay, and which kind of a hydrangea? Are these the round blooms or the conical blooms?
The cone-like.
Okay, so that's a paniculata or a PG-type hydrangea. Full sun. You must have a bunch of green growth on those plants right now. Green leaves?
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of hydrangeas they are off the top of your head?
No. My wife was the one that put them in. She's passed away now.
So how big, roughly, are these plants?
They get up to about 2 feet, just over 2 feet tall.
Oh, so they're pretty small. Huh, like a little...
Bobo, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Bobo's... How many years have they been there?
I'll say three.
Right, okay. So it could be one of the newer varieties. So are you in a fairly small garden in Richmond Hill?
Yeah, relatively small, yeah.
And are these plants getting full sun?
Pardon me?
Full sun, 6 hours of sun every day?
Yeah, we get sun most of the day.
Perfect. So, you know what? If it's not raining at your house right now, get off the phone and go out and prune those flowers off right now. Yeah, clean up the plants. Take off the brown, take off the dead, and shape them. You can, if they're more heavy on one side or more dense on one side, stand back.
I'm breaking up for some reason. I don't know what's happening here. Maybe if you can repeat that, and I'll just hang up and listen on the radio.
Perfect. Hang up. Thanks for calling, Ross.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
You're
Bye.
Welcome.
So you're saying that if they're heavy on the one side, you can shape them?
Well, not all plants grow evenly as much as we might wish they would. They tend to grow more heavily on the sunnier side, which is the south or the west. So they don't end up as a balanced or good-looking plant. So now's your chance. You're pruning off the dead flowers. Take a look at your trees, your shrubs, whatever it is that's growing in your garden, and look at the opportunity for balance. The worst thing is to have unbalanced plants, partially for the eye, but also for the health. Mm-hmm. Big wind.
And they bloom on new wood. Yep. So they're going to bloom on the growth that they're putting out now.
Okay.
So you can still do that. You can still cut them back, trim them back, and you'll still get blooms this year. You're not going to affect the blooms. The macrophyllas, you can't.
That's
so
right. But so the paniculatas, you can. And so you can cut back, seriously, that's why I asked Ross how big they were. You know, you can bring them right down half the size they are right now from last year's growth and still get blooms this year.
Right.
Because they've got all summer still to grow before they bloom. They're the late summer bloomers.
Okie dokie. Give us a call, 416-360-0740. That's your Toronto number. If you live anywhere outside Toronto, 1-866-740-4740. We have lots of room on the line, so do give us a call. And in addition to Charlie Dobbin today, we have the Tattooed Gardener. So we have a couple of people who can chat with you about questions here. And so I get to enjoy a few more sips of my coffee
because it's just a
real chill show for yours truly.
Yes, but you're participating and doors open. So you have to rest up for that.
I do. Yeah, I'm going to be here for about probably till about 1, I think. Okay. I'll be here 12:30 or 1 helping to chat with people and show them through the building, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
And Paul, one of Paul's specialties you'd like to share with us is you're very much of a passionate hobby, garden, everything kind of guy, but then you do breeding as well, plant breeding.
I do. I hybridize daylilies. Mm-hmm. I've actually registered 105, so I'm getting up there with registrations, which is awesome.
Wow. So 105 brand new daylilies. How many kinds of daylilies are there in the
world?
There
are over 100,000 registered.
Wow.
So there's a lot of them. You can't have them all. I've tried. It doesn't work.
So how do you know that what you've got isn't already registered?
Because I made it. I took two pollen from one and put it onto another and put on my bee outfit and flitted around the garden.
And bagged it.
And labeled it and grew the seeds out and waited till they flowered.
That's so neat.
And you know that those plants have never been crossed before.
Even if they have, every seed is unique. It's sort of like humans, where siblings
like
will be similar but different. And so you could do the same cross 17 times and get different results every time.
Sure, particularly from seed, right?
Right.
It's not like cloning.
And that's the only way from that one seed.
Yeah.
That's how it's unique.
Huh. Interesting.
Love it.
That is
so much fun.
Dean's, his eyes are bugging out of his head. You know what? When he retires, he's going to turn into a plant breeder.
I think you should come and spend a day with me at the daily
field. Yeah, my wife is just going to shake her head and go, oh, no,
your
not
kids.
Another thing.
They're already razzing him because he's become a bird guy. And it's like, his dad's getting old, which is not very nice. But
it's fun. And when they look out, they'll go, oh, look, Dad, they're saying, like, oh, yeah. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Susan on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Susan.
Yes, good morning. I have a mystery for you.
Oh.
I have a Virginia creeper vine. It's in its third or fourth year. And I went over and looked at it a week or so ago, and I thought, oh, it's kind of slow. But then recently I looked again very closely, and something has eaten all the buds off. I can tell because a couple of them left the little stem for the leaf, but it is totally naked.
Somebody's hungry, Paul. Who do you think's eating the buds?
I would be willing to bet it's a rabbit.
But it's on a chain-length plastic fence.
Okay, how high up off the ground?
Yeah.
But how high would it have had to be chewed?
Oh, you're breaking up again.
Oh, what's going on with our mics?
How high would
I hang up and listen to the radio?
Yeah, you better. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Something's going on. It must be the rain.
Yeah.
Satellites.
Glitchy.
Satellites aren't working.
Yeah.
Right. So she wasn't clear on how high up these buds were on this vine. But rabbits are hungry.
They are. And they have babies right now.
Yes.
That are just starting to leave the nest.
Yes.
So the whole family will head over and hop up. The whole family will head over and hop up the fence. Not up the fence, but they can stand up on it and get a good.
Yeah, they can get pretty good.
2-3 feet up.
Adults can for sure.
They could stand at each other's shoulders if they really want
to
get up
love
top
to see
there.
That.
When they're practicing for dance competitions.
Yeah.
Gymnastics. Okay, so if it wasn't rabbits, raccoons. This is Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Raccoons, and they
would
be
deer. I mean, if
in Toronto, maybe depending on where you are.
It depends on where you are. If it's a ravine, sort of.
Yeah.
Lawn.
Yeah.
It's the idea is that it's super fresh.
Right.
The buds are so young. It's like a nice salad.
And at the end of the day, it will come back.
Sure,
the plant will definitely come back.
Oh, you can't kill Virginia creeper.
So you will still have that plant.
Yeah,
pretty quickly.
That's the bottom line, Susan. You're not going to lose the plant. You might be a little frustrated that you're losing the tips, but don't worry. The plant's not going anywhere.
I have to say that I was surprised. I saw something this year that I just hadn't noticed before, and that is that I think we have a small magnolia tree in the front. And in the early spring, the squirrels were going up and they were eating the new buds off. They loved them. And I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't noticed it before. I guess it's probably happened. Mm. But similar. They were like taking them off and it was like a salad to them.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, because, flower petals are not the same as leaves, right? So you've got a whole different flavor thing going on.
Yeah.
And, there are some rather sophisticated squirrels out there.
Yeah.
So they do like their tulips as well.
I was waving my arms on the other side of that window.
Well, you want to hear something funny? There's a shrub called Weigela. So Weigela, 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 however we say our G's in Latin. Cats love Weigela flowers.
Hmm, really?
Why? I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Either did I. So my cat walked by every flowering plant in my garden and zeroed in on the Weigela, laid down and started chewing all the flowers a couple summers ago.
You need the piss-off plant.
Well, maybe, but it was funny. Like he was just so happy. And, pink, petals falling out of his mouth.
What is that plant?
It's Google it.
That's actually what it's called, and I think it's fantastic. It's an annual that you plant. And
The piss-off plant?
The piss-off plant.
Yeah.
And I mean, you get to say that when people ask what it is, which makes it good. And it actually deters rodents and cats and all sorts of different...
Right. So what is it exactly? You're talking about like a citrosa or something?
No, it's... We'll look it up after. It's a coleus, actually, from the coleus family.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Very cool flowers, and it doesn't smell great.
No, I guess not.
Okay. But the animals don't like it either. So.
Well, I don't mind my cat eating my Weigela. I think it's funny. I like it,
Has to be pruned somehow.
Right, and the cat can only reach so high, right? The cat is typically down at ground level, and there's other things in front, so it's fine. But, no other flowers attract, so I'm just wondering if certain animals are more attracted to other, growth than others.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Jody on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jody.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about petunias. This is a question that's dividing our whole family.
Oh, boy. Oh,
here we go.
We've gone to from a mystery to a family dividing question.
Some are telling me not to remove the dead flowers. Others say you have to remove the dead flowers. I don't know what to do.
Okay.
These I always pinch them off. I'm just going to go on record and say that I pinch them off.
You vote for pinching.
I vote for pinching the dead ones.
All right, Paul Stern.
It depends on the type of petunia. The wave petunias don't need to be pinched because they're sterile.
Waves,
so they don't produce seeds.
And they drop
them. And they drop their thing. If they don't, if it's a regular petunia, then I pinch as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise it'll go to seed and then it'll...
And then they stop.
So if you... Then they stop blooming, right? Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right, so...
When you say pinch, like... I see a brown dead one. I just kind of pull it off. Do I just pull it off?
Now Paul's shaking his head no.
No, you have to pinch it. If you're pulling it off, you're just pulling the dead petals off, and the seed pod is still developing. And that's the part that you don't want to be left on the petunia.
So it's an index finger and a thumb. Without gloves, you'll end up sticky, so you might want to put gloves on or just be prepared to wash your hands and literally pinch the little green, it's actually an ovary, that those petals, those brown petals are attached to. There's a small, round plant part that is literally an ovary where the seeds are being produced. So it's a pinching that little bulbous bit out, and you can just drop it on the ground. It's not like you have to do anything with it.
Right. And so because a plant wants to go to seed, right?
That's right.
Naturally.
That's right. And energy goes into seed development, does not go into more flower development. That's why we prune our lilacs after they finish blooming. Because who's starting a lilac nursery?
Not me.
You just reminded me of another job that I have to do when I go home. This week anyway.
So with the lilacs, you have to cut them off when they turn brown like that?
Well, as Paul said, what kind... Oh, the lilacs, sorry, yes. Yes, the lilac, when they finish blooming, the blooms all turn brown and crispy. You can just let them sit there. Those will eventually blow away. And what you'll be left with is a flower head. What was the flower head becomes a seed pod head. So multi-seed pods will be attached on the terminal buds of your lilac. Unless you're starting a nursery, you don't want to do that.
Okay. So I have something to tell my family now. They're both wrong. You don't pull them off. You don't leave them. You pinch
you
them.
You pinch them off, and not just the petals.
Oh, wait till I share this.
All right. Do a recording.
Thank you for your help.
Thanks for
so
calling.
Much, Jody.
That's so perfect. We're solving everything here. Yeah, you got to come more often,
families.
Paul.
We're saving families right now.
Well, at least we're saving Jody.
Right.
Jody's just grown 5 feet.
Oh, wow. She could call next week with a three-way problem. She's got the family divided in three.
Conference call.
Never know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. And
Paul Gallatly.
And Paul Gallatly.
And Dean Holland.
Don't call him Paul Gallatly.
Why not?
He's the tattoo gardener. Come on.
Yes.
It's hilarious. Tattoo. Off air, Charlie keeps saying, he's known as the tattoo gardener. And then you introduce him as Paul. And I go, okay. But he's the tattoo gardener.
Thanks, Dean. I'm so happy I have you here to keep me in line.
Okay. So we have the tattooed gardener here, and I asked you earlier where you hail from. You're from, from Ontario. You're an Ontario boy.
Yeah, originally from Waterloo, and went to Halifax for a bit, and now I'm settled in Toronto.
Yeah.
And done a few jobs in Toronto.
Done one or two jobs in Toronto.
And you're currently self-employed.
Currently self-employed and loving it.
Yes.
But I've been the director of horticulture at the Toronto Botanical Garden, and I was the curatorial gardener at the Toronto Zoo.
Yep.
So I've done some really cool plant jobs, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Now, you were talking about day lilies earlier, but do you have an ultimate favorite flower for whatever reason?
Everyone asks me this. It depends on the day.
Okay.
But I think my first love is probably Japanese maples, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, which everyone finds kind of surprising, but day lilies are definitely up there. Yeah.
But they only last a day.
That's why I love them. Makes you slow down. Ephemeral. Makes you appreciate the moment.
Oh. Ooh, live
in the
day.
And the garden is never the same.
True.
Days in a row.
True.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh.
See?
Oh,
I've got another one. Hooked another one.
Dean's got a new best friend.
Never the same. I'm going to get a shirt with a tail on the garden is never the same.
Every day is a new day in the garden.
Every day is a new day. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Sheila in Georgetown. Welcome to the Garden Show, Sheila.
Oh, good morning. Nice to speak to you, both of you.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Thanks.
We have an unwanted visitor on our deck. I'm looking at the internet to see photographs. It looks like a carpenter bee, but it's larger. The body is almost completely round and very dark.
Mm.
And it just absolutely flies backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, lands for only seconds, really. We haven't seen any holes in either the top or the bottom of the deck. And just wonder if it bumps into us, do they sting?
No.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're not harmful. And they're great pollinators.
Oh, good. Okay.
But
it could be a robber fly.
Oh.
There's two different ones that look very, very similar.
Right.
And there's a robber fly that will land very briefly and then actually go back up and sort of fly around sporadically. They actually attack other flies and
robber
bees.
Robber flies.
Yeah. There's a number of different robber flies, but there's one that looks very, very similar to the carpenter bee. And I'm wondering if that's the one you have. A carpenter bee would stay longer than a moment, and you would see holes.
Yeah, they tunnel. They're called carpenter bees because they go into dead wood, typically, which could be decks or benches or whatever, and they will ultimately undermine the structure. Very long process of tunneling and destroying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, protect structural fences, etc., decks with varnish or stain or paint because they don't go near that. But a robber fly is another option.
Okay, and
not harmful either.
Yeah.
Neither of them are going to sting you or do any damage to you.
Okay. Yeah, and I saw on the internet also they suggested putting chimes up because the moving of the chimes and the sounds also kept them away.
Oh, there you go. Why not? Try it.
Just make sure you like the sound.
I was going to say, make sure the neighbors don't start complaining. Don't get a cheap chime. If you're doing chimes, get the quality chimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Oh, this guy is a bit like World War II. Plane going across.
Yeah, buzzing.
Like it absolutely flies at high speed. So.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, okay. So sounds like it could be a robber fly and sounds like it's an interesting little visitor. Maybe name the little buddy and, you know, get a relationship going on with that little
friends.
Puppy.
Okay. Friends with the robber.
Why not? It'll kill aphids. It'll eat aphids and kill some of the things that you don't like.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Sweet. Okay. Good, thanks. Good. Yeah, thanks for the call there, Sheila. Okay. Speaking of wind chimes and things like that, I'm going to get to use my garden chimes in a moment because we have a first-time caller on the line. We have Helen, who's calling from Scarborough. Welcome to the Garden Show, Helen.
Hello. Hello, Charlie. Hi. Love your show.
May I give you your garden wings, my dear? There you are. I will do that.
Wait, there.
There you go.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, Charlie. I hear you talking about hummingbirds.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own nectar, which is sugar and water, but I did hear you say that you have lots of hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. So what kind of nectar are you using?
Same thing you're doing. Nectar.
Really?
Sugar and water. We
really?
Do change the nectar, depending on the weather, every 5 to 7 days. If it's warm, you change more often. You scrub the feeder every time.
Uh-huh.
They're very, very sensitive to any kind of bacterial mildews and molds. So that's cleanliness is really important when it comes to the bird feeding. And we had our hummingbird feeder up in advance of their arrival. Mm-hmm. So when they flew, where I live in Prince Edward County, there's a great little jet stream that the birds will catch to come across to the county, and they zipped up to my place and haven't left. So we've got quite a number hanging out, and the Orioles as well. Same thing. Beautiful.
Lovely. They're so sweet. I have one that comes at 5:30 almost every night. One.
Exactly.
Awesome. Believe that?
They're on the clock. There's no question.
Yeah.
It's neat.
So, Charlie, I use 1 cup of boiling water and 1/4 cup of sugar. Is that good?
4 to 1. Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
Okay. Totally
and let
good.
Cool
Thanks.
Down, obviously. But scrub your feeder in between and do that new mix every 5 days minimum in the heat.
Oh, the new every 5 days.
Yeah,
oh, I'm not doing that. So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, and that will keep
it much longer, much longer.
Yeah,
than
well, that's it. You want to keep the hummingbird in the neighborhood because you want it to nest and have babies. It's really sweet when you start getting the family.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Okay, thank you so much, Charlie. Wonderful.
Sweet. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for the call. I have a quick question. Is it important with that some of them are dyed a color? Do you need to?
The red nectar.
The red. You don't need to.
No?
No. I've always found the nectar to be a little bit of a hassle because you do have to change it. And you're supposed to change it frequently, and not everybody does.
Right.
I've always just planted a lot of red flowers.
Yeah.
Red,
okay.
They, same thing. With the tubular flowers.
But they typically like red, do they? Are they attracted
they
to red?
They see red for whatever reason. So the cool thing is if you wear a red T-shirt or a red hat and you go out into your garden where there are hummingbirds, they'll come zipping to you.
And you could put this little hummingbird feeder right on your hat.
That's right.
And then they'll come right up in front of you.
Exactly. And just hang in
my
front of you.
My kids will think I've lost my mind.
Make sure you get a picture. We want to see a picture.
Well, you know, there's a hat clip on that's a dragonfly to keep the other pesky mosquitoes, et cetera, away. So you could do both of those.
You could have a dragonfly
on
the back
and a feeder.
You were going
to
get me in so much trouble.
Oh, it's hilarious. Pictures. We need photos.
Wow. Okay, we're going to take our last break. We'll be right back. I've got to make some plans for my hat. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin and the tattooed gardener right here at Zoomerplex.
And Birdman.
And Birdman.
I'm renaming you.
Oh, my Lord. And in about 10 minutes, Doors Open will be beginning here at Zoomerplex as well. So I know Robbie Lane, I just saw, walked
in. Did. He was blowing kisses,
ago.
Actually.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, not to you, though.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. We had a nice chat yesterday, though, during the meet and greet, the shindig. Let's go to our next caller. We have Elizabeth on the line from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Elizabeth.
Good morning, gang. I just have two comments. My squirrels like the red petals on my tulips, only the red. And the other comment is that in my lilac are over 12 feet, 10 feet tall. So there's no way I can get up there to do that deadheading. However, I leave all those seeds, and the birds come all winter and devour them, so they're gone by spring.
Okay, but the one thing I will mention is when your lilacs are 12 or 15 feet tall, you never get to smell them. Bring them down to head height, and you'll have the benefit of the fragrance.
Oh, no, but I have low. I have they're low. They're just filled like a
both
bush.
Both tall and short. Yeah.
Very old.
Yeah,
but my
sweet
question, please, is I promised somebody a holly plant. I've got three holly bushes, one male, two female. But when I looked out, they're on trunks, and there's no small roots coming out of the ground around them. So I'm wondering, can I make a cutting from holly?
You can, but it's not super easy to do.
Right.
Timing is important with that one.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think. So if you were doing, because a holly is a woody plant, so a small shrub. So
it's huge.
Oh, is it? How big is it?
Yeah, it's about 5 feet tall and about...
Oh, pretty old.
Yeah.
Oh, so I could double check this, but probably you've got new growth starting or coming on the plant. You would do tip cuttings of new soft green growth in the next few weeks, whether it's, I'm not sure where, you're in Toronto somewhere, so you could have 4 to 6 inches of new growth now because it's such an early spring, or maybe a month from now you will. But that's what you would cut.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And you'll want both male and female.
Yeah.
Or they won't get any berries. Right. So when you're doing your cuttings, make sure to get cuttings off of both plants.
And tag them.
And do I put them in water or do I put them right in earth?
Okay, so I would use a stim root. So you need to stimulate root growth, and you would use a number 3. If you have a number 3, though, you could also get away with a 1 or a 2 because it's a soft wood cutting. And then I would go into a moist sand or perlite.
Mm-hmm.
Better than water. Water works pretty well with annual, like really soft plants, but I'm just not a big fan of water when it comes to woody plants. They have a tendency to rot, really, in the water.
And how long do you think it would take to root?
At this time of year, it would be faster than any other time of year. Probably a month or two, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wouldn't do any checking or anything until almost the fall to plant it over.
Right. So you're going to, you basically do a little tug on that cutting that is stuck into the what is consistently moist sand or perlite. And once it starts to feel like it's got a bit, something holding it down after a light tug, you know you've got a little bit of root action, but it's going to be a couple of years before you have plants that are of any size.
Well, I'm not going to have them there. Somebody else will. So,
well, you could just send that person to a garden center to buy some, too.
Isn't that the truth? But you know what gardeners are like, right?
I know.
I have a bit of yours.
Exactly. Share. Like, it's true, but it is a bit of work and patience. It's a patience thing, too.
Yes. Great. Thank you very much for the call.
I'll provide that. Thank you ever so much, and I'll let them know it can be done.
Yeah.
Whenever.
There you go.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
See you soon down at Zoomers. Bye.
Will
Thank
do.
You. Bye.
Okay, let's quickly go to our next caller. We have Barbara on the line from Etobicoke. Welcome to the Garden Show, Barbara.
Good morning, and thank you for the welcome.
Good morning.
I have a question about how to deter a groundhog from continuing residence under my garden shed, and alternatively, how to deter him from taking up residence. This is the second year he's there. My garden shed is made of white cedar, so it looks like a cabin. It is not on a cement pad, so it is built into the earth. Last year, I had some effective use, thanks to Master Gardener's advice, in filling up the hole and putting Epsom salts around the plants that he tended to take a shine to, which were bachelor buttons, my phlox, and my purple coneflower. He's back again this year. I protected some of the plants with fencing, but I want to know, is there a permanent solution to having him taking up residence in the ravine, which is right behind me, which would be much nicer than my shed and much better for me?
Build a little log cabin down in the ravine for the groundhog. Okay, so Etobicoke boy, the tattooed gardener, has a suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, you could borrow a dog.
Right.
They have to be not comfortable in your yard.
Environmental.
And they tend to become comfortable very easily, especially when they have a beautiful garden to live in.
And yummy plants to chew on.
Yeah.
And a beautiful shed to live under.
Absolutely.
Skunks do the same.
They do. And so do some raccoons.
Yeah.
You could try the piss-off plant that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, right.
Rodents don't like them. So it's an annual. And they do, you can get it at most garden centers. But that might be a good option, even in the short term, just to keep him deterred from being there. And once he takes up residence somewhere else, he won't be there. The trick is just getting him out.
So a lot of times people look for deterrence.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we do the, it doesn't often work, but sometimes it does. It's the human hair from the salon. Mm. It's the smelly soap from, you know, Irish Spring. It's the, some of the different, you know, things you can buy at the garden center. Something that I've liked and recommended to people is called Plant Skid, and it is designed, came out of the Norway or Finland, and it was all designed to keep elk out of the people's gardens. And turns out it works on all mammals. It is a long-term, when you spray the plants, it's long-term. It lasts for months, doesn't wash off in the rain, 100% organic. It is available in your local Canadian Tire. It is worth trying, spraying as per directions on the plants, and probably even around the base of the shed, and see if that deters, because that is a smell that apparently they just, you know, mammals don't like. Rabbits, raccoons, elk, deer, you know, whoever might be out there, coyotes, wolves, it'll keep them away.
Cats,
yeah. Yeah, so many of those other deterrents don't work. They wash away, you know, people try mothballs, but I don't never, ever recommend mothballs. Fox urine is sometimes something you can buy at a hunting store, and people will sprinkle that around as a way to deter fox prey, to stay away because they'll think there's foxes in the neighborhood. Men in the family, sometimes it's the old pee the perimeter, sometimes keeping,
really?
Deterring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, deterring just animals that will smell the urine, the ammonia, and think, oh no, I don't like the smell of that. Zoo poo was a big one back in the day. I don't know if you can still get zoo poo.
No.
And it was pretty cool because it was made from lions and tigers and bears. Poop.
Oh my.
And rhinos,
yeah. And of course, the average groundhog does not want to run into a rhino.
No.
Trust me.
No.
Okay. Okay. Listen, thanks.
That's great advice. That's better than Epsom salts, which has to be reapplied after every rainfall.
There you go.
Yeah,
not to mention it could be a deterrent. It could be a problem if it's every after every rainfall.
Right. Okay. Thanks for the call there.
Yeah, good luck
Barbara.
With that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Well, we're about almost out of time, and so before we go, I just wanted to recap what Tattooed Gardener is up to and the show you've got coming up. Remember, 60 Gardens, that's crazy.
60 Gardens, June 22nd, lakeshorewestgt.ca, I believe it is.
Okay.
And take a look, come on out and say hello to me, and I will actually be... they're giving a door prize out, actually, for someone who's there at the very beginning, which is one of my daylily introductions.
Oh.
So that's pretty exciting.
Special.
And very special. And, it's going to be a great day. Rain or shine, we will be there.
Yeah, and the website is lakeshorewestgt.ca.
Yeah, perfect. Cool. Yeah, and some really pretty gardens, guaranteed.
There are.
And so I'm glad you can be there. You've got other things going on besides dropping into the garden show today.
Yeah, this one was my main one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to head out and do some clients' gardens today. And
are you?
I love working in the rain. It's
the best.
It is the best.
Soft rain.
It's a true gardener will work in the rain.
I know. With a hose in hand.
Absolutely.
People go, what are you doing? Don't worry. It all makes sense to me. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The Tattooed Gardener. And that's your handle on social media.
That is my handle on social media. And I'm everywhere.
Follow you. You are everywhere.
I'm everywhere.
Thanks, Dean. You're pretty much everywhere, too, these days. Couldn't do any of this without you and
Ashley. And I can't wait, Dean, to see the photo. Of the hat.
The
hummingbird Peter hanging out.
You and my family.
Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend in the garden. And happy doors open to everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.